here with you. The name is Peter Wickham, here with Mr. Dennis Johnson, whose voice is familiar to you. Mine, sadly, has been unfamiliar for the past few weeks, but I'm so happy to be back. So happy that I've forgotten my introductory remarks. And I have to remind you that you can call us on 434-1790. I believe the number is still the same, 434-1790. You can use the WhatsApp, 266-IVOB, or you can, we no longer have a blog. So 266-IVOB is the way that you will be able to reach us. Of course, if you want, you can WhatsApp me directly. Feel free to do that. Or you can email us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. So I'm happy to be back with you. The program today ends at 1. We have a truncated program. We have a lot to talk about and so little time. And I fortunately have been on the air on Sunday with Sanka, and I was able to express my congratulations for the incoming government and also commiserations with the Democratic Labour Party. The challenge I have now and going forward is that the outcome of this election presents me with so much fodder for me to discuss, to analyze. I want to write so much about what has happened. I want to analyze various aspects of what has happened. And I'm somewhat overwhelmed because the question for me is, where do I begin? This election was not historic. It was not only historic in the context of Barbados. It was historic in the context of the region. And it was also historic in the context of the Commonwealth. And as I look at the various sets of electoral data from the various countries I work in the region, I'm challenged to find any situation in which a sitting government has been able to gain as much as 74% of the popular vote. I think that is a significant achievement in and of itself. It's ironic that I also have found very few instances in which the electoral or voter turnout has fallen to the level of 60%. And that's also one of the more curious ironies. Ms. Mia Motley, I believe, received close to 90% of the total popular vote. And again, that is regionally a high. There are few leaders in the region who have scored that type of victory. And I'm also persuaded that as far as women are concerned, she will easily now be the most successful female politician in the region and certainly in the Commonwealth regarding the type of swing going in and the type of majority that she has won. So no other woman, while there have been several other women from Gandhi right back down to Kamla Prasad Bisesa who have won elections in the Caribbean, none of them have won with a clean sweep in terms of all the seats. So that is significant, and it requires a level of analysis for me as a political analyst that takes great joy in writing about these developments in the Caribbean from an analytical perspective, not necessarily only from a political perspective. So I'm anxious to discuss all of these things and to look at them, but it will take time. I think there's also a lot that needs to be said about the Democratic Labour Party and the situation it has found itself in. Those of you who listen to me will have noted that I have consistently argued that the Democratic Labour Party was heading for a situation like this. And this is not only based on poll data, which we'll talk about in a while, but this is based on my assessment of our reaction to the individual, Prime Minister Frondeau Stewart, and my concern that the Democratic Labour Party shot itself in the foot several times. I think that they did themselves a disservice when they appointed him as Prime Minister, notwithstanding the fact that he acted as Prime Minister for long enough for them to have understood his shortcomings. They then appointed him as Prime Minister after having won an election in 2013, which was a surprise victory. Even though many on the inside suggested that he would not have been appointed, they appointed him as Prime Minister again. And essentially, he continued for 5 years to demonstrate the person that he was. It was then left to the electorate to ensure that he was not appointed as Prime Minister a third time, because we have seen the results of his leadership over the past few years. Now, there are many who are sitting in the audience today, many who are listening, many who have an opinion that the Democratic Labour Party as an institution is fractured, it's an inferior organization, it has institutional deficiencies that have caused this problem to occur again and again. Yes, I agree that the Democratic Labour Party's last good years were between 1971 and 1976, or indeed between 1966 and 1971, some may argue, and that thereafter the Democratic Labour Party has been on a downhill slide. They came into office in 1986 and confusion reigned from 1987. They came back into office in 2008. Of course, the 1994 dismissal was legendary and it was followed by a 99 result. They came back into office in 2008, and after the death of a leader again, 2 years, confusion started to reign. My feeling is not that. I do believe that political parties are very much creatures of the leadership. I think leadership is central to political organizations, and I do believe that, like the Barbados Labour Party, the Democratic Labour Party, is really all about who is leading it. And I think the BLP has been considerably more fortunate over the years. I think that they've also been more realistic. The choice of Owen Arthur over perhaps Henry Ford, who was unsuccessful, to me made a whole lot of sense, because Owen Arthur was, at the time, he was young, he was enthusiastic, he was bright, and he made good sense in terms of leadership. The Barbados Labour Party, to me, has always demonstrated a higher level of maturity of not persisting with leaders who have failed. I think that in 2013, the Barbados Labour Party clearly made a mistake in terms of persisting with Owen Arthur as opposed to moving to Mia Motley at that time, and they paid the price in 2013. And I think that as you compare that last election and this one, it is painfully obvious that there's one major and fundamental difference that made all the difference for the Barbados Labour Party, and that was question of leadership. So if we look at the Democratic Labour Party now, I think Frandell Stewart's leadership is clearly at the top of the list. And then we talk about reasons why the Democratic Labour Party did badly. I mean, there are several, but I think that the leadership of Prime Minister Frandell Stewart would have been the key thing that we have to look at when we start to analyze the leadership. And I acknowledge that the individual has said that he is no longer offering himself as a candidate. But my personal feeling is that the individual ought to free himself from the shackles of the Democratic Labour Party permanently. The further and faster the Democratic Labour Party moves away from Prime Minister Frandell Stewart, I think the better off the organization will be. And I do believe it needs root and branch reform. It needs to rebuild. My challenge in relation to all of the others, 29 largely good men and women, many of them misguided, but some of them good, decent politicians that could have had a future. People like my good friend Don Valenis, for example, I mean, he comes to the top of the list because he is the one that many of us felt would have been the logical inheritor of the kingdom. My challenge today is that I frankly cannot see how any of those individuals can offer themselves to the public in all good conscience and suggest that they want to lead the Democratic Labour Party now. And the reason for that is simple. You were part of the administration that is one of the worst, that is the worst in the island's history, and indeed one of the worst in the region's history, and compares unfavorably in relation to any administration across the entire Commonwealth. It was a bad government with a bad leader, and you were part of that. And not only were you part of it, but you were involved and you persisted for 7-8 years with that administration. Don Valenis said several things that suggest, led us to believe that, you know, he was not happy. But when it came down to it, he certainly voted with them on every single critical occasion. So as a result, he is jointly, like all of the others, and severally liable for all that has happened. And my question is, how does any of these individuals come to us now and say, I want to be part of a new beginning. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I want to move forward. And I'm hearing Bobby Morris, and he is a voice crying in the wilderness. But I think that he, like Prime Minister Frandell Stewart, needs to be ignored, quite frankly. And I think that the Democratic Labour Party needs to look to the future. So as they talk about filling those two seats, I'm anxious to hear with whom those seats will be filled and who will represent the future of the Democratic Labour Party. And to me, the sooner that conversation starts, the sooner we'll be able to look at the situation going forward. It's 10 minutes past the hour of 11. Dennis is signaling to me that it's time for me to shut up and take some calls. But I have a special message. I have a special message from the client who sponsored the public opinion polls that Cadres did, and we did several of them in the run-up to this election. That client has given me the authority, and it is highly unusual in this business because, as you know, I do not ever discuss the identity of my clients, but I had a conversation with my client last night, and she's given me the authority to discuss the outcome of those public opinion polls, but only with one person, and this is Mr. Straker's Tenantry. So Mr. Straker's Tenantry, if you're out there, do call and let's have a conversation this morning, because I have full freedom to discuss the results of all of the polls with you, but only with you. So those of you who are anxious to hear that information, basically urge Mrs. Traker's Tenantry to call and let's have a conversation. Down to Brass Tacks, we'll be right back. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. I have to read this first, but Peter, you said she gave you permission to discuss the details of the polls. Are you sure you didn't mean him or her, or him alone or her alone? I know exactly what it would say, sir. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Not as well as you, but
you might be better than me.
Huh?
You might be better than me.
No, my thing is, I saw a circular came out on social media with a lot of achievements of the Barbados Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, a name was missing.
Who's
and
that?
It hurt my heart to see that a person can lead a country for 14 years and lead a party for 14 years and his name was not mentioned. I know, in my opinion, I was the first person that criticized him when he started attacking Mrs. Mwadi.
Where was this document released? Because I don't recall seeing anything.
No, it was a voice note.
No.
The Barbados
Labour Party had a celebration recently in which they spoke of their achievements over the last years. And I do recall Owen Arthur's tenure being mentioned. And the leadership of him, along with Henry Ford and others, but certainly
I recall
the mention of two great leaders, Tom Adams and Owen Arthur.
So your
voice note wasn't the same as my recollection.
Well, the one that I saw wasn't what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I feel bad. I feel whatever that he deserved as a statesman, this country, he should get. I was one of the first persons that came on the radio.
I don't know anybody disagreeing with you.
Huh?
Is anyone disagreeing with you?
There's a lot of people that disagree. We made mistakes. And, as a member of the Barbados Labour Party, a caring party, I feel that we should forgive him. And I will hope that the Mwadi family forgive him.
Mm. All right. Thanks, sir. Margaret Chase writes on my Facebook page, good morning to you and the most handsome man at Starcom, Mr. Dennis Johnson. Imagine I post a picture of myself and Dennis Johnson gets the accolades as the most handsome man at Starcom. It's probably the baldness that people like. I had a problem. I have to work on that just now. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Just to point out that we are having some challenges with the feed this morning. I know many of you rely on that feed to hear information and to hear us. We're working on it, and as soon as we can, we get it sorted out. So that is noted. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, hi. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you going?
I'm going very
congratulations.
Well, I think that is in order. And yes. I am happy. I'm happy to be a part of the winning team this time around. Huh?
Good.
So
it's on to crop over now.
All to crop over.
Right,
but as you notice, I have not and I will not be calling forward.
Mm. All right? Why not?
Personal reason. Right? I want to discuss forward with who could discuss it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want me standing alone. Anyhow, that is another subject. Let me say this to you, right? I hear you mention a lot in your synopsis about the Democrat Labour Party, why they fail to show up and all that, and why they get the flogging they get. The truth is, I think it was a referendum. The election was a referendum on the Democrat Labour Party part.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this to you. You might be sweet, you might be happy, you might be not happy and sweet. Understand what I'm saying. You might be sweet on Don Valenis. Don Valenis, I believe I can still call him a friend, but the truth is, right, Don Valenis get just what he deserved. I think it was a referendum against Don Valenis, David Estevic, and indeed the Prime Minister. Because, like you rightfully suggest, or you rightfully outline, Don Valenis excite the public, right, with a disgust, and his noted
outspokenness
mm-hmm. against the party and mm-hmm. against the Prime Minister, but still when it comes to crunch time, he ran back with the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. David Estevic, let me give you a title, Dr. David Estevic, did exactly the same thing, and Dr. David Estevic, more so, the one, he was the hashtag man. He was the one to cuss people and all sorts of things on the platform. The people sent a strict referendum against him. Okay? Go back and practice medicine. I am happy that the public of Barbados friend Donald Ennis, Dr. Eswick, and Frandell Stewart, right, from Prime Minister, a clear, definitive message. I got no apologies to make to them. Donald can still call me friend if you like, but that is my position. You cannot be blowing hot and cold, right, and taking people's citizens for a ride. You understand? Making people think that we back in some ancient years and in the dark days. No, people send school their children to be educated, right? It's not only Donville and Dr. Estrick and Frandell Stewart that has a fair chance at education. Ordinary people out here too, and we was watching the script. Okay? I'm happy for Miss Motley. I'm so happy for Miss Motley that I know, right? A guy just claimed the fame that he's the first person that come out in support of Miss Motley when she get hammered and whipped and abused and battered by her former leader, right? I could say that I was the first, right?
To come. Who was the first? But there are several people.
That's nothing. And when I did that, I was seated in the Democratic Labour Party. Okay, so I have no apologies to make. F a star B. My good friend want to tell the truth about me. If a caller on this program that called the program and go under the name as the historian, if he want to be fair to me, he would say that anytime we did lining up with them Spanafreda and you call Motley name, right? I said don't talk Motley name because I can go back and tell you. You understand what I'm saying? And I was deceited. That to tell them I ain't joining them. Discrediting
Miss Motley. The tone of the campaign. I mean, I'm agreeing with a lot of what you're saying, and I think it's fairly clear. You know, anybody who has ever pursued a woman that responded favorably and promise, and you begging and she promising, and giving you all the words and the sweet talk, but every time it's time for you to show up for the date, not tonight. You have a feeling of disappointment, and it quickly moves from disappointment to resentment. And I think that's exactly what has Don Villanis has suffered from. And like you, I call him my friend. He has invited me for his legendary pudding and sauce. So I missed last Saturday. So I suspect I'll have
you
to
go out eating next
Saturday. No, I ain't eating that. I ain't going there. I just go around pudding and sauce because the lime is always good. But I will continue my vegan path. But and I think it's a statement that has to be made in a conversation that has to be had about why he should not succeed and not basically be the next person in line to lead. But I think it's a conversation that has to be said, and things that you're saying, you know, he needs to hear, and he needs to hear from people who are willing to say that in front of his face and not behind his back. But there was considerable expectation raised. And I think that a lot of it has turned to resentment because it wasn't followed up by anything. I think with him more so than the pit bull, because I believe the pit bull, many of us understood the nature of the pit bull from long ago. But I think that with regard to Donville, no, I think that many of us understood that was never going to come to nothing.
I understand.
Yeah. But definitely with Donville, we saw a level of sincerity that we felt needed to be backed up by something.
Peter.
Yeah.
This is.
But no, you need to call on fireworks, though. No, because no, now look, the election over. We need to get down to the soca talk. We need to have your input in relation to the quality of music, the different. Because no, I mean, we gonna move on.
Let me say this here to you: Dennis Johnson is not there. Carol Roberts is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Carol Roberts might be back. You never know.
And the truth is, nobody disagrees with me more than Dennis Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, it's good for discussion.
Dennis Johnson challenged me and carried me to the wire.
Right.
And fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had to bring my ear game. To be quite honest with you, I'm not saying that I above it, but I am saying I want to conversate with somebody that understands the whole.
Yeah, but come off it, man. Larry knows music as well.
Good.
I don't know if he knows it as well as Dennis does, but I mean, I think that his genre is slightly different because he's more into the Goldies and that kind of thing. But
I come here to sing Miss Motley praises, and I want to say that this is Miss Motley time. And listen, her first 40s, Well, her first 3 days impressed me so much. I hope she don't suffer from burnout.
I tell people last week I had done something at the Rotary a few weeks ago, and I was saying, look, we are gonna go into shock as a nation, because you could imagine we have not had a press conference in 7 or 8 years, and we in the last 7 days we had 3.
I want to wish Miss Motley well, her and she and her new cabinet. I want to wish especially, and fellas don't get jealous of me, right? Especially my good friend. John King is my good friend.
Well, let me say this while you're on the air, that I also wish John King well. I have bigger expectations for him. My one hope is that he takes, I also know that the Prime Minister Motley has views on this as well, but I will hope that the two of them will take the semifinals, back up to East Coast.
Well,
that is my sincere wish.
I believe that would be in the working, but I want to single out another minister.
What do you think of that venue, sir?
Of course, without a doubt.
Okay.
With that panoramic view of the East Coast and the sea scenery and all that. Yeah, of course, the East Coast is the place for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this to you: I believe with all of my heart that Endorier.
Mm-hmm.
Would make a good agriculture minister. You know why? Because he has something to prove.
For as long as agriculture lasts, why not?
But we're on food security.
Mm-hmm.
We're on food security, and Endora, if you listen to me, we're on trying to get this import bill down as far as fruits and all these other things that we could muchly do without.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, sir. Thanks a lot, Wesley. We'll be in touch, hopefully, and I hope that you do decide to call and engage on fireworks. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bickham.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Long time we not about you. Long time we haven't heard you and I.
That's true.
And I want to say a couple of things here. The first thing I want to tell Wesley and Mark Williams and the crowd who have gobbled up that candy that the dear leader put up there for the people and the promises. It was a well deserved candy. Mm-hmm. And it was delicious, and they gobbled all. They left none at all for the Democratic Labour Party. But I will tell them also.
But they don't get rotten teeth.
I want to tell them also that promises, the only promises in this world I know about, two were fulfilled, and one is yet to be fulfilled. The one that Moses led the people in the promised land, the world with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and the world is the second coming of the Messiah. Those are 3 promises that I know about. I do not know about any other promises.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the third parties were quite successful at this election.
You think so?
Yes. We are not looking in terms of the people that who have cast their votes by, but they're looking to see what they set up. And they set up to have that experience of knowing what an election is all about, know how to deal with people, know how to talk to people, and know what the people want. So they are in preparation now for the next general election, and they would have that experience. And they have some very young, brilliant people in these third parties. When they look like Crystal, and there's a couple more, like Eastman, these are people that really, I think, will be in the future, will be able to carry Barbados forward.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the private sector. I remember years ago, I was at a barber shop. And an economist came in there from here for the guy's haircut. And I had this argument. I will never forget what he said. He said, the private sector is like a table. You know you have a table that have 4 legs. And they only stand on 1 leg. And the government is standing on 3 legs. It is time enough of the private sector to decide to stand on 2 legs. But my party, I had a conversation with a member of the UPP. And they told him, look, if my party get into power, we will put the infrastructures, the framework, and the sensitive, but the private sector has to get up and do more work and stop relying too heavily on the government. And they're like a baby, a 2-year-old baby has to be spoon-fed. And I want to have a conversation with the head of the private sector later on this year. I'm going to invite him to our meetings because, you know, Mr. Wickham, we are now preparing now to get our candidates for the next general election.
Which party is this?
Oh, this is the 5-Star League. This is one of the new parties that, who did not contest in the last general election.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have a youngster. As a matter of fact, that youngster that ran against Miss Molly that he's a very intelligent fellow. I had a conversation.
So he's going to leave the solution?
No, he doesn't belong to us. No. I am impressed with him.
Oh, I see.
There's a young female. She will soon complete her studies at Cape of Virginia. It's 2 years' time. Mm-hmm. And she won't can contest that seat. St. Michael Northeast. Because she figured that she could represent the people of St. Michael Northeast, and she has a lot to offer.
Think she can represent them better than Ms. Motley can?
But I don't know. She figures so. And there's also a youngster who won't take over.
Right. I didn't realize that you were a third-party man, but let's, against the background of that, just tell me, what exactly do you guys hope to achieve from your participation? No, I mean, tell me frankly, what do you expect to achieve?
We expect to achieve that one day we will win the government and we'll be able to carry Barbados forward.
Fair enough.
I mean, did you see any of the manifestos of some of these third parties?
I didn't waste my time reading any of them because I knew that none of you would be in government, quite frankly.
Okay, but let me say one more.
I'll tell you this, sir. It's interesting how you define success, and I think that you have every right to define success that you way that you want. Uh-huh. But in my opinion, where a set of organizations cumulatively achieve 4% of the total popular vote in a situation where the winner amasses 74% of the total popular vote, and in my opinion, in my professional opinion, the 4% that you guys received was largely a result of the fact that there were so many people who insisted on going to the polls, but clearly did not want to vote for the Democratic Labour Party, and said, I vote for the UPP. So it's a kind of either a pity vote or a vote of saying, I'm voting against the DLP, but not for the BLP, because I'm a Dem, quite frankly. And this was why I always thought in terms of the third party projections, I was always of the opinion that they would steal votes from one party and one party alone, which is the Democratic Labour Party. And the evidence is there before you. So against that background, I'm trying to understand what exactly it is that third parties want to achieve. If you say that you guys plan to become the government in the future, then I can only wish you well. But I'll tell you that running a candidate against Ms. Motley is only going to serve to humiliate that person.
I
also am hoping that whenever we get down to electoral reform, that we move the deposit in Barbados from $250 to either $2,500 or $10,000. Because in my opinion right now, a big part of the reason that we're having all of these myriad third parties and fourth parties and independents is because the deposit is too low. The deposit is supposed to prevent candidates that are not serious from coming forward. Not to ensure that it's only wealthy candidates, but to demonstrate that candidates that come forward are serious. But my opinion is that it's not working because you have all of these people coming out of the woodwork, offering themselves and whatnot. It believes that the deposit is too cheap. If you guys had to come up with $2,500 a piece, you could rest assured they would not have had so many people at the starting line. Because there's only serious people that expect to get by that $2,500 that we're getting.
Mr. Vickham, excuse me, sir.
Somebody's asking me about Natalie. I love Natalie. Mr. And I say that without reservations. I love Natalie, and I tell you, if they had a bigger deposit, there would be people that would have been lining up to pay on Natalie's behalf. I can guarantee you of that.
Mr. Vickham, you have to start at somewhere. If I'm going to go up a mountain, which is about 4,000 or 5,000 feet, you think I'm going to start from the middle? You have to start from the beginning. You do not know if you might live long enough to see what these third parties eventually take over the reins of the government.
Sir, I have already lived long enough to know that third parties all over this Caribbean have been unsuccessful. I am born yesterday. I'm not as old as you, but ultimately I have seen third parties rise and fall in Jamaica, in Antigua, in St. Kitts, and even St. Lucia. I've advised politicians across this region regarding the possibility of third parties because it's something that comes up all the time. Up to last month, I had a client that solicited my opinion on the possibility of a third party in one of the other islands because of the fact that they are frustrated with the status quo. And my advice is always the same. If you look at third parties that have emerged and been successful, you look at the UPP in Antigua, you look at Team Unity in St. Kitts and Nevis, you look at the COP, you look at the other political party, I think there's a new one now in, let's just say those. You look at those parties and you ask yourself what distinguishes them from persons like yourself. And there's a seriousness, a practicality, and a knowledge of politics that, to me, is completely absent from these third party. The third party movement in Barbados in the last election was about spite. It was largely about spite. The solutions Barbados, in my opinion, was on a different trajectory. But when I look at the UPP and I look at the rest of the organization about spite, and least the PDC had the decency to tell us, look, we are in to ensure that Mia Mottley doesn't become prime minister. Because he said it, right? Adamson said it. But no one else was willing to come and state that that's really why they were in business. And I think the electorate punished you guys.
But I am not looking at that. I'm looking at we have young people who is interested in joining my party, and they're just waiting for these people to graduate from UE. To put them forward, and they're just as brilliant as anybody that you have in the house. And I'm telling you,
but what are they offering that is not being offered by Kirk Humphrey, that's not being offered by Marsha Cattle, that's not being offered by Santia Bradshaw? What are you coming with that's not being offered by those people?
But you have to read people.
That's not being offered by young Simon Aline. Right?
But listen to me.
Harry Husbands. What are you coming with that is not being offered by those? The Democratic Labour Party right now, sir, can be reshaped and remolded into several different images. And in a sense, it presents an attractive prospect to all of these myriad alternative views and opinions. You know, shuffle that into the Democratic Labour Party and see if you can reshape that organization in a new way.
But I'm telling you. Unless you read the People Manifesto, then you can judge it.
Before I go,
look, this young lady that I put a lot against me and Molly, right?
Mm-hmm. She's going to be beaten.
Right. She has a first degree in economics. She's just going to do her master's.
Marsha Keller got that too.
Don't mind. And she's going to run Miss Molly to the ground. I tell you, next 5 years, she's brilliant.
I heard that Patrick thought they're going to do that too. I hear Patrick Starr set up at a meeting out there and talking about how he got Miss Motley on the ropes and he can make history, and the people down there saying, come, we got to see what you got to offer. You save a deposit? It's down to brass tacks. We'll be right back.